More than nearly any other passage in the Gospels, the story of Mary and Martha raises our hackles. Okay, that may not be exactly true, but more than nearly any passage in the New Testament, the story of Mary and Martha raises the hackles of all the Marthas who are out there in the world. Martha is portrayed as a sister who doesn't get it, who is berated by Jesus for being so distractedly busy that she totally misses the point of his visit. Is that really fair? If it weren't for Martha, our Lord would have gone to bed on an empty stomach and probably forced to sleep on dirty, wrinkled sheets. It's the Marthas who plan the menus, buy the groceries, cook, serve, do the dishes, send the guests home with doggy bags, and leave chocolates on the neatly pressed pillowcases. I mean, what would we do in the world without Marthas? The world needs more Marthas. Can you tell that I am a Martha? I am a Martha, although not to the degree I used to be. I'm what you might call a reforming Martha. A Martha struggling to learn how to let just a little of the Mary side in from time to time. Now, some people like to imagine that they have a little angel sitting on one shoulder and a little devil on the other. The angel in its heavenly white gown constantly whispers words of advice while trying to get you to ignore the wily little devil on the other shoulder who's jabbing you with a pitchfork and suggesting all kinds of outrageous things you can do to knock the little angel off its sandaled feet. Well, I imagine a different scenario. You see, I have Mary on one shoulder and Martha on the other. Mary in her comfy terry cloth bathrobe and slippers drapes herself across my collarbone and yawns in one ear about the need to take it easy, Kathy. Relax. Let Martha handle things. Martha, over here standing straight and defiant, jabs me with her little salad fork and hollers into my ear, "Don't listen to that Mary. She's a sloth. Think of all the things you need to do. Come on, get up off the couch and get busy, for heaven's sakes." And I'm always trying to find a balance between Mary and Martha. Here's a recent example. I just returned home last week from a visit with my father, who lives near Las Vegas. Dad has been widowed for 8 years, and he lives all alone in a big house, a house bigger than the one we even grew up in. For the last 18 months now, he's been fighting inoperable liver cancer. The time with my dad is very precious. And when I'm visiting him, I want to bask in every moment of it. But I also want to help him out, because he lives far away and I don't often get the chance to do things for him. With all his treatments, he's been really tired, and there are so many things around his house that need done. So being the Martha that I am, I can buzz about and get a lot of stuff done when I'm there so that he can get the rest he needs when I'm gone. My dad and I have developed this tradition of watching tennis. If he's there and I'm here, we watch it together on the phone off and on. But it was perfect because while I was there visiting him, the Grand Slam tournament of Wimbledon was going on. Now, Wimbledon takes place in London, and so it came on TV at 4 a.m. So we taped the games and we watch them at a much more reasonable hour of the day, say daylight. Well, these tapes would run for hours and hours, even though we were able to fast forward through all the commercials. The first day or two, as Dad and I sat and watched tennis, my mind was racing around in circles. Martha, on this shoulder, was shouting in my ear, and this is what she said: "How can you just sit there? Think about what you could be getting done while you sit. You could sort through his mail, write letters to all the family. Why didn't you bring some yarn and knitting needles so you could at least be making a prayer shawl or doing something useful while you sit? Time is short. Get the lead out." Martha kept jabbing me with that little fork, and I had a hard time even sitting and watching tennis. I felt so guilty just sitting there for so many hours at a clip. Well, just when it seemed that Martha was going to win this one, I heard above the din of Martha's screeching voice, which sounds quite like my own voice, the whisper over here of Mary. And Mary said, relax. Just enjoy sitting here watching tennis with your father. If you get up and start doing things, he'll feel bad about not being able to help. You've got tennis on the TV and your dad sitting in the chair beside you. How much better does it get? Time is short. Soak it in. And I decided, for change, to listen to Mary. So I flicked Martha right off my shoulder, and I sat, and I watched tennis with my dad. And that would have been enough. But then something amazing happened. Now, I'm always trying to pry little bits of information from my dad about his childhood, his life with my mom, what my brother and sister and I were like as kids. I'm sure I was the little angel on the shoulder. My dad is a very private person, and he's not a big talker, and he didn't have a very happy childhood, so I have to be careful and not overstep my bounds. Sometimes I'll ask a question, I'll get one word or one sentence in response. It's just the way it is. But on that Sunday afternoon, 2 weeks ago, as the tennis match wound up for the day, an amazing thing happened. Tennis ended, and a billiards game came on TV. Billiards! I've never watched billiards on TV. And out of the clear blue Las Vegas sky, my dad says to me, "I used to play pool after class when I was in high school." "Huh?" That was my profound response. "Really? Well, I never knew that." And because we were sitting there, that silly billiards game launched my father into this long conversation about his life. For the next maybe half hour, 45 minutes, Dad told me all kinds of things about his high school years, how he'd hoped to go to college on a scholarship but ended up leaving home at the age of 17 to go off and fight in World War II. I knew the part about him leaving to go to the war, but I'd never heard those high school stories before. One story led to the next, and I kept asking questions, and he told me a little bit about his courtship with my mother and things I never knew. I mean, as Proverbs say, talk about finding buried treasure. I felt like I'd just struck gold. I patted the shoulder where Mary sat. She had a big smirk on her face, and I was careful not to smash her there. "Thank you," I said. Well, actually, it wasn't Mary I thanked. I thanked God for a holy moment that I very nearly missed. The holy moments of our lives don't always come when we schedule them. You can't predict when your teenager who hasn't said two words to you in a month is going to plop down on the couch and want to talk to you about something. If all you ever do is wave to the neighbor next door as you're racing out to get to your car to go to work, you might not know that his wife left him a few months ago. Maybe if you stopped to talk now and then, you'd be there for him when he needed you. When Jesus stopped in at Mary and Martha's house, do you think he was checking to see if the house was clean and the laundry was done? He didn't expect the ladies to scramble around preparing a 7-course meal. You know, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a glass of milk would have done just fine. Jesus stopped at Mary and Martha's because he needed to sit and rest for a while, to talk to friends. He needed a little time. We expect God to snap to attention when we have needs to be met. And God bless God, God is always eager to hear from us. But the older I get, the more I'm coming to realize that I, and maybe some of you too, simply need to carve out a little bit of undistracted time each day to sit at the feet of Jesus, to allow enough space in our busy lives just to be with God. Believe me, I'm not pointing fingers here. Remember, this is Martha talking. Martha, who while we were singing earlier and looking up at the cross, I thought, oh, those windows need washed up there. I'm a Martha who struggles every day to give uncluttered time to God. I'm sorry to say I often fail. I'm trying to practice what I preach, but I don't always do a very good job of it. In fact, here's the rest of the story. Before I left my dad's house to return back here to Wildwood, I shredded his junk mail, cleaned out the freezer, the fridge, the pantry cupboard, scrubbed down the guest bathroom, washed the towels and the sheets, and put them back on the bed. No, I'm never going to be a Mary all the way. Martha has taken up permanent residence here on this shoulder. She may lose her footing every now and then, but she's not going anywhere, and I'm okay with that. Perhaps it isn't about the Marthas trying to change completely into Marys or Marys into Marthas. Maybe we all just need to find a little bit of balance between the two. And whether we hear Mary's voice more clearly or Martha's, every one of us can benefit from taking more time to just plop down at the feet of Jesus, to cherish every moment we can spend with him. You have Jesus sitting right there beside you every single day. How much better does it get? Time is short. Soak it in. Maybe we should start a Mary and Martha club. If anyone's interested, let me know. We Marthas can hold each other accountable for promising to spend more time sitting at the feet of Jesus, and all you Marys out there, maybe you can run the vacuum and fix dinner so we can. Would you pray with me? Lord, we all struggle to find a balance in our life between being and doing. Sometimes you ask us just to be, because that's when the holy moments can happen. Just to sit at the feet of Jesus and soak it in. Bless us, O Lord, in our struggles as we try to do that, and give thanks for the love you have for us in Jesus Christ. And let all God's people say, Amen.